Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, is it time to bring back Mario Chalmers? Is it time to move on from Justice Winslow? Is it time to tank?
No, let's stop talking about tanking. Maybe the Heat should be buyers, not sellers, and make a playoff push instead. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here, as always, with David Vermeil. Since we had the recap of the Heat's game against the Lakers go up on Monday, we're opening up the mailbag today instead. We've got questions about how the Heat could blow it up, and on the other hand, how the Heat could make a run for the playoffs this season. Let's start with this question from Charles, who writes in, Pat Riley should give Mario Chalmers a look and bring him back. And just for context, Chalmers, by the way, tweeted a few days ago, quote, all I need is a chance. I'm all the way healthy now. David, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one online, but that sounds like it checks out to me.
It does. I think it's 100% certifiable. I think it's proof that he's ready to make a contribution to an NBA team. And I love it. Mm-hmm. Look, all you have to do is tweet something and it's the reality. Our illustrious president has proven that, if nothing else. So tweeting makes truth. I think that's more than proven 100% every day from all of Twitter. So it is time to bring Chalmers back. I think Charles is on the right track there. I think it's probably the fifth step towards cleaning house, but I think it's a step that needs to happen because why not? If he's healthy, he knows the system, he buys into it, I think his expectations are lowered. And you know what? It's a feel-good story. If you're going to bring back Dwayne Wade, who's going to make some shaky contributions along the way, if you've got Udonis Haslem there for no reason other than because he's Udonis Haslem, why not bring back Mario Chalmers too? For that, hell, you might as well offer a minimum contract to Chris Bosh, see what he brings to the table.
I have two thoughts as to why Chalmers would actually help this Heat team on the court.
Okay.
And the first one is that, look, I think I'm having a hard time gauging how valuable Goran Dragic is to this team because it's clear that the offense does not look as good when Goran Dragic is not playing, right? And so for that reason, wow, Goran Dragic is really important to this team. But then I'm also thinking, well, how much of that is just, you're not going from Goran Dragic to backup point guard. You're going from Goran Dragic to zero point guard. And I would like to know what the difference is. I want to know what the difference between Goran Dragic and zero point guard, which was what we're having now, versus Goran Dragic to backup point guard, such as Mario Chalmers. And I think that would help gauge the value of Goran Dragic, and I think that would help the offense. Like, really, this offense does seem to grind to a halt when there's no true point guard in there. As good as Justice Winslow has looked at times against certain competition, he can't do it. We saw it in that Lakers game. You play Wayne Ellington in Dragic's spot in the starting lineup, and you're kind of using Magruder and Richardson and Winslow as this kind of, you know, substitute ball handler, and I just don't know that there really is one guy who can just keep doing it, and I think Mario Chalmers at least brings some stability to that position. And the Heat have a 15th roster spot, by the way. Now, they're not going to do this, by the way, until they make a different move to get under the tax, because they're not going to pay Mario Chalmers.
That's why I said it's the fifth step.
Yeah.
You clean up the roster, trade if you can, clear up something somehow, or as we talked about in our previous show, perhaps waive and stretch a big-time contract there. And if that's the case, then that's fine. And you bring in Chalmers, and it makes a lot of sense because then you're kind of restoring balance to the force. You're bringing back a roster that you feel better and comfortable with, and I think it lowers expectations as far as what your goals of the seasons are, but that's fine because then it's not about paying somebody $20 million to suck. It's about paying somebody $2.5 or $5 million to suck.
That's way better. And look, as long as we're copying our president here, look, the power repetition helps, apparently. So stretch Whiteside. I'm going to just keep saying it every episode. Wave and stretch Whiteside. $9 million a year for the next 3 years. Do it. The other reason Mario Chalmers helps is because this team is clearly frustrated. Josh Richardson is throwing shoes into stands. That's not a good sign. Maybe Mario Chalmers is sort of that scapegoat outlet again, like just somebody to yell at and get it all out. Instead of throwing shoes at fans, just yell at Mario Chalmers. That's what he's here for. Maybe it helps from a psychological standpoint. Our next question comes from Kevin. He asks, how can the Heat get a high lottery pick via trade without tanking? Can the Heat use their pick and Dragic to get a swap or something? David, this is right up your alley. This is the perfect situation for you. Actually, the perfect situation would be get a high lottery pick and then swap it for just some other veteran player who you know you can play right now. But how can they get a high lottery pick without tanking? Do you see a road?
They can't.
Right.
That is the reality. Sorry, Kevin. I hate to break it to you, but even the Goran Dragic, we've talked about this a number of times. It's all about filling a need for another team by moving Dragic there, and that's a playoff contender that sees a point guard position as one of need. If they're a playoff contender, they're not going to have a lottery pick, and they're not going to be able to offer one to us. You know, it's not like, let's say, a team like maybe Boston that has a glut of lottery picks in the future. They are already set at point guard. They don't need anybody like Goran Dragic on their roster. Otherwise, I can't think of other teams that are on that bubble that might need a $20 million player or just shy of $20 million in Goran Dragic at his age and is willing to exchange a lottery pick. I think lottery picks, as we've seen more often than not, and I disagree with this 100%, but they have incredible value around the league. And so I think if you're looking at a 32-year-old point guard that's making X amount of money or millions of dollars, that's not necessarily equal value in a lot of eyes. So, I mean, I just, that's not going to happen, Kevin. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with lottery picks. People keep valuing them. You only get players like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid
Or Jahlil Okafor.
LeBron James of them. Like, sure, I don't understand why you would even bother with drafting anybody. Didn't the Minnesota Vikings, this is like a weird, obscure NFL reference, but I used to be really into the NFL draft, and I think the Vikings in the early 2000s or something used up all 15 minutes they had in the first round, and the NFL just skipped them. They had the 20 something pick, and they just forgot to take anybody, and so they just skipped it. So there's only 20 or 31 picks in the first. Anyway, he can do that. I wanted to try to answer Kevin's question, and this is going to be completely unrealistic. But the only way to actually move up, say the Heat end up at the 15th pick in the draft, just to use an average number here.
Yeah,
I think you could package that in Josh Richardson to get a lottery pick, depending with the team. Even that's probably a stretch, just because, like you said, how much value is in a lottery pick right now, and a high lottery pick, not 13, but
you're talking about an off season 4 or 5. Too. This would be something that would be
during the draft, draft night. Right, it would be. And so that might be a way to get there if there's another team that really values Josh Richardson. But even then, I don't see the Heat doing that, and I don't see another team necessarily doing that if one of the Duke guys is on the board. This next question comes from PJ, who writes in, I think it's time to move on from Justice Winslow. His comp should have always been Draymond Green, same size and skill set, but the one thing that Green has that makes him so valuable is his willingness to lead his team, even though there is 3-star/superstars in front of him. Winslow doesn't have that, so what is his value to this team? Defense is great and all, but there's a reason guys like Tony Allen don't have a spot in this league anymore.
Wow.
There's a lot to get into here, and we don't have that much time, but
Allen's 40, so I mean, I think that's the biggest reason.
He can only
guard
2 positions. Winslow can guard 5.
Well, I mean, I think Allen could defend a number of spots adequately well at his prime, but that prime is long since passed, so I think that's an issue there. Draymond, I love Draymond. I think he'd be a great fit anywhere, but he's a particularly good fit on that team because of the type of superstars that are above him. I mean, KD is somewhat deferential. I mean, he deferred a long time to Westbrook in Oklahoma City. We see a lot of that from Curry. He gets his shots, but they're not willing to necessarily be the emotional barometer for a team, the one that drives them as far as the emotional quotient is concerned. And I think that's a role that Draymond plays particularly well. I mean, we're seeing that in the most recent incident where he was willing, I think, to say what a lot of people in that Golden State franchise believe, that Durant has held his free agency. That he's used his free agency and kind of lorded it over the franchise over the course of the season. I mean, I was talking to somebody about it, a national guy, and he said, look, I think Draymond's the only one with the balls to say what everybody else in Golden State is thinking. And I think that's why it makes him so valuable. Look, the skill set.
I have a question. I have a question for you about his skill set, because do you think that Draymond Green, he plays that role for Golden State, but what if he was on another team? Do you think he could be this supersized point guard a la Giannis, Ben Simmons? Do you think he could just be more of that somewhere? Because I was thinking about that the other day. If they were to trade him, right?
Yeah. I think it would work, but look, he has to have somebody to make those passes to. And it just so happens that he collects a lot of assists, valuable ones, as a result of being able to make them to Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant.
And Winslow doesn't have that.
No, he does not.
Yeah, unfortunately. David and I agree on a lot of things, but tanking is something we've never agreed on, in case you haven't been able to tell already from this podcast. We'll talk about that more after this break. You know, ever since launching the podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think that you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are the best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus and let them know that you came from us. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's get to this next mailbag question from Billy in Cleveland, who writes in, "So hearing how much Wes thinks we need a short tank and to sell off pieces and parts instead of losing players for nothing or offering them bad contracts, I want realistically three trades, you don't need to use all three, but three is the max, from each of you to improve this roster. Wes should focus on the one-year tank with his trades, and David should look at improving the roster with the playoffs in mind, because you're anti-tanking. As some stipulations to make this more realistic, neither of you can trade Tyler Johnson because of his contract. Bam, Winslow, and Richardson are untouchable. Be skeptical of any incoming players to Miami averaging over 25 minutes a game with a player efficiency rating above 20, so basically superstars. If we didn't have enough assets for Kyrie, Kawhi Leonard, or Jimmy Butler, I doubt we would have enough to bring in one of the league's most efficient players. Hopefully you like the idea." So first of all, Billy in Cleveland, we love this idea, because that's basically what this podcast is in existence for, is hypothetical situations and fake trades. That's kind of what we do here. So this is right on brand for us. David, can I start here? Because I'm all jazzed up for this.
Please do so. I was kind of stuck here. I couldn't figure out a lot of options available to me with at least the stipulations that Billy provided. So any clarity, go for it. Yeah, go for it.
My thing was definitely easier. So look, I got three trades, according to Billy. So I get three trades to tank. We've talked about the Dragic to Brooklyn one, but I've already talked about that, so I found a new Dragic trade. Because that's the first piece, right? If you're going to tank, you got to trade Dragic. To San Antonio for Pau Gasol and a 2019 first that Toronto owes them. So take that first from Toronto, and San Antonio gets to keep their 2019 first, which might end up in the lottery if they don't make the playoffs in the West. So Dragic to San Antonio for Pau Gasol and a 2019 first. Now, Gasol's deal goes through the 2020 season, but it's only partially guaranteed at $6.7 million. So it would save Miami $12.5 million next year. I think it's a great situation. And if you're a little worried about not having even anybody to just sort of, you know, lead the offense, and maybe too many players already in a loaded front court, you can add Patty Mills and James Johnson to sort of swap out some of those issues. But overall, you get Dragic to San Antonio for Pau Gasol and a 2019 first. Gets you a draft pick, gets you off of that Dragic money, for most of that Dragic money for next year. I think that's step number one. And I think the Spurs could really use Dragic, even when they get Deontay Murray back and all these other guys that they're missing. I think Dragic could still play a piece there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just start there. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good move for San Antonio, and I think it's, if the goal is to clear things as much as possible from Miami's perspective, then that certainly helps. If you can move James Johnson and Goran Dragic, and you get a pick and you don't have to pay Pau Gasol his full salary next season, makes a lot of sense. Just not something I'm particularly interested in seeing happen.
Step number two and three, we've talked about this. Trade Roddy Magruder to a contender for, you know, a late first-round pick or a second-round pick. Just get something for him. He's too good. Like, it kind of sucks watching him right now because it's a little bittersweet. Like, wow, like he's really come along. There's no way that he can pay him next summer. And that just sort of sucks, you know? It's just like, it would be one thing if he was sort of locked into a deal, but Miami can't afford him.
So what would you get in return, a second-round pick?
So I've got him. I've got trading him to Houston for a 2019 first, which I think is a no-brainer for the Rockets.
Heavily protected. And,
yeah, and not that, like, I think the Rockets know that they're going to be pretty good. But yeah, probably top 25 protected this year, something like that. You know, pretty heavily protected. Maybe like a top 20 protection would even be worth it for Houston. Because then you get Roddy Magruder's free agency rights, and then you'd be able to retain him next year. And he gets paid basically nothing this year. And so they're a team already in the tax, so I think it's a no-brainer for Houston. It would just be, is Miami willing to sell Roddy Magruder? Right now, probably not, but they should be. And then step number three is trade Wayne Ellington to either Philadelphia or the Lakers for just a draft pick and whatever salary filler. Interesting salary filler hypothetical, David. Trade Wayne Ellington to the Lakers for a future pick and Michael Beasley?
No.
As salary filler?
No.
Hey, we're tanking here. That's the whole point. So let Beasley get his shots up.
Yeah, I didn't realize China you were trying Beasley. To drive. Yeah, I didn't realize you were trying to drive Eric Spoelstra insane in the process.
you gotta keep Spo. So that's my three steps. Trade Dragic, you trade Rodney, and then in these three trades, you're getting draft picks out of all of them. So maybe you're able to use that as sweetener to get off of a James Johnson or a Deion Waiters or an Olynyk or even a Tyler Johnson contract. That's the goal here. Sell these parts off, try to get even any draft pick, a second rounder, any future pick, anything. Get picks in return, get off of salary. That's the goal here, and that's what I did. So that's how you tank. By the way, I went on Tankathon and did the simulation for the mock draft lottery. First time I did it, we had the 9th pick. Second time I did it, we ended up with the 1st pick, and then I did it this morning, and we got the 3rd pick and ended up with Cam Reddish out of Duke, and I think he'd be a great fit. So I think everything's coming together. Any trades that you came up with that you want to put out there?
I think the stipulations that Billy put in make it impossible to actually build a contender for this team. Like, you can't take the roster as is and then not be able to trade Bam or Winslow or Richardson and improve on what you already have. Like, nobody's going to take, you know, you're not going to trade Joel Embiid for his son Whiteside. You know, it's not realistic. You and I talked about perhaps acquiring Kevin Love. There's nobody on Miami's roster that you could trade to Cleveland in exchange for Kevin Love. And even still, the addition of Kevin Love may not necessarily be the kind of move that would help Miami. Do you put Kevin Love on this roster? Is he your starting center? Can you afford to have him as your starting center given the rest of the lineup that you're probably starting alongside him? That probably not. And is that make this team, consider he's out for a number of weeks, at least still with his injury, does this team even have any chance of making the playoffs with Love? I'm trying to think of other moves like that. There aren't a lot of other stars that are available. I
saw a piece in Sports Illustrated kind of think about, hey, if Memphis or Washington wants to get off of either the Mike Conley or John Wall contract, would they just do a swap for Goran Dragic just for money reasons? Like, if you were able to do that, like, if you're able to get a Conley, which I think would be amazing, I don't think Memphis has any plans on moving Conley, but we'll see. If you're able to get a Conley or a John Wall and pair that player with Kevin Love, I think the Heat are better, depending on what they got to move. I look at Kevin Love as maybe a Blake Griffin type of trade, where really the problem there for Cleveland is the fact that they just signed him to a 5-year extension and they don't want to pay him over the course of those years. So you're able to get him for basically nothing, which is basically what the Pistons traded, like, Tobias Harris, who wasn't coming back anyway. Right. Like, are you able to move Tyler Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, and Roddy Magruder for Kevin Love and, like, a Kyle Korver piece or something like that? You might, because Tyler Johnson will be an expiring contract next year, and you're for Cleveland, you're several years away, and you'd like to get to that next step, you know, within 2 years as opposed to 5 years where, you know, you're trying to get off that Kevin Love contract. I think there might be something there. It might take another sweetener as a pick, like a pick or something like that. And so, ironically, I was thinking about this. I think you've got to trade Wayne Ellington for a pick no matter what. Even if you're trying to get better right now or you're trying to tank, you trade Wayne Ellington for a pick and you use that as sweetener to try to improve the team if you're not allowed to trade Justice, Bam, or Josh, right?
According to stipulations. And you have to cut Whiteside as well, right? I mean, because theoretically.
Stretch Whiteside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if Love's going to be your starting center, then, you know, and that's fine. And you have Bam as a backup, or you could even play him alongside Kevin Love at some point. I mean, yep. He's used to playing next to Tristan Thompson, who's not, you know, dissimilar as far as what they're bringing to the table at this point. I think Bam is more, well, I don't know if he's more
better defensively.
Yeah, he's better
defensively. But better defensively. Yeah. Tristan Thompson was better when he was young, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, well, the Kardashians sank their club.
So this would be... this would be a lineup of potentially Conley slash Wall.
Is Conley? I love Conley, but do you really want Conley on this roster? Considering that he's going to be making like $300 billion.
No, but that's the only way you get him. That's like right. That's the only way you get him is if Memphis is like, we can't pay this guy. Trade us Dragic. Like, I'm just trying to figure this out in the rules that we've been given.
And there's history there. I mean, Memphis and Miami are frequent trade partners. I mean, I was thinking. A deal with Charlotte would make sense because Kupchak and Riley actually have extensive history.
So if Charlotte decides that they want to move Kemba Walker, I think I got the trade for them. That the Heat would at least put on the table. I don't know if the Charlotte would take it, but I think I know what the Heat would offer.
They won't, but go ahead.
That they won't trade him, right?
No, they can't. I mean, I don't think Miami has anybody on their roster that you could dangle in exchange.
I don't think Charlotte puts Walker on the trade block. I just don't think that they could. It would be a PR nightmare for them.
Let's hear your option.
It would be Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo is what they offer. You offer Dragic to replace Kemba, obviously, and then you put Bam Adebayo in the trade because while he fits exactly what James Borrego wants to do, he's their answer at center, and I think that's the only substantial way to get a top 20 player in the NBA right now, which is what Kemba Walker is.
You have to throw in Richardson in a pick too, I think.
No way. If they already know that Kemba's leaving, Kemba's leaving. Yeah, Kemba's leaving. If
he's not leaving,
Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler,
he's not leaving.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they put him on the table, he's leaving. Like in this hypothetical, like they wouldn't trade him if he wasn't leaving. So the only reason they'd put him on the table is if they knew that he was leaving. And if that's the case, then
so Kemba goes into MJ's office and says, "Look, I've given it everything I've got. I'm looking at this roster. I can't take it anymore. Just ship me."
Right.
And then you have a lot of what we've seen with Paul George and Blake Griffin,
exactly.
And Jimmy Butler, and you're trading pennies on the dollar.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Fair. But otherwise, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's nothing that he'd have. Like they would have to sell all of their good players to get him. But yeah.
Could you make a nice feel good trade and send Justice back to North Carolina where he started Duke?
Not this year because of the weird poison pill stuff, but you'd have to do it over the offseason maybe.
Hmm.
But then if you're giving up Justice Bam for Kemba, I don't know if I love that.
What? Are you serious?
Because then you're like, it's the Jimmy Butler situation. It's like Kemba Walker, Josh Richardson, and nothing else. Like it's just, how else do you get better? I don't know. Whatever. That'll do it for our listener questions. David and I will ask each other a mailbag question after this break. Thanks to everyone who sent in mailbag questions, either to our Twitter account at LockedOnHeat or by email to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. But now it's time for some host questions. David, I've prepared a question for you. You haven't seen it yet. Are you ready?
Sure, why not?
Are the Heat using Dwayne Wade's parental leave as an excuse to sit other vets like Goran Dragic and see more of this young core on the court together? Is this a conspiracy theory? Dragic injury.
I think you might be hitting on something. Like I think Riley's admission recently that this team is average at best. I think it shows that he might be a little broken, and I think that he can't publicly admit to a tank. But the number of players that they've sat out, the way that they're not even pushing for Deion to make his return. They held that James for so long. Now they're giving Dwayne like this 2-week break there. It's just, it all feels very, very weird and atypical for a team like Miami. And I feel like you're probably hitting on something. And you know, I hate conspiracy theories, but, you know, sometimes there's truth enough there. And I think that's what we're seeing is that this team doesn't have much of a future, not a short-term one anyway. And so if you're going to try to develop this team for something more, then you need to highlight some of these young players to increase their trade value or at least more accurately discern what you really have in them. They took a huge leap of faith in keeping Josh Richardson and not including him in a trade for Jimmy Butler. And I don't know if you're, you know, if you're justified in doing so, seeing how Jimmy's played so well in Philadelphia and seeing how Josh has had some, you know, questionable moments over the last few weeks. And I think that's what you want to do. I think you want to see what you have in this roster. I think we're starting to see that Justice may not be ready for that leap that we expected him to make this season. And as far as Bam, I think he's just still too raw. So give them the opportunity to prove or disprove themselves.
I think Bam just needs more time. You're right. He's too raw. He looks uncomfortable out there with the starters, but it's just like he never plays with them. So I think there is a little bit something to this. I really do. I think that the Heat are experimenting a little bit here and that they aren't. Like, at some point, you can't just leave Jaden Johnson out completely, right? Because then he starts suing the team or whatever. Like, it becomes an issue. So you got to let him get back eventually, and this was a good time to let him back in. But it wouldn't surprise me if they were being patient just because they're like, look, we've got so many guys already, number one. And number two, we got to see what these young guys can do given more playing time. Do you have a question for me?
Well, actually, I saw on Twitter somebody referred to your good friend, Coach Brad Stevens over in Boston as Butler Vinny Del Negro. I guess his point was that he's kind of struggling with Boston there and that the expectations for the Celtics have kind of revealed that he's not necessarily the kind of coach that a lot of people had hoped that he would be or had believed that he was. And obviously you're a longtime supporter of Coach Eric Spoelstra. My question for you, Wes, is what is the thing that Eric does worst and what is it that he does best? I'll give you a chance to redeem your opinion of Eric Spoelstra, but what's his best and worst qualities?
Eric Spoelstra's best quality and his worst quality.
Worst ones first, please.
Okay, so first of all, the worst one is not that he doesn't run an offense. I am so sick and tired of hearing this, like, Spo needs to hire an offensive coordinator, all this crap. Like, Spo is an amazing offensive coach, and you talk to anybody that knows any X's and O's basketball stuff.
That's not a worst quality. You've blown it already.
I'm saying that's not the worst quality.
No.
But it's also not his best quality, and I had to get that out.
Okay. Spo sucks at some things. What does he suck at most?
Nothing. There's nothing that he sucks at.
Oh, my God. You cannot tell me that Eric Spoelstra is the perfect coach. Okay.
He's the best coach in the NBA right now. I don't see it.
Wow.
He got a team with James Johnson and, like, Hassan Whiteside as its starting front court into the playoffs last year. That's insane.
He got this team to the playoffs last year. Okay, I don't know about all that.
You have to be perfect. Okay, I'll answer the question. I think he struggles with I think the worst part of him is he struggles with rotations, and I think that players get frustrated with knowing and not necessarily knowing what their role and how many minutes they're going to get is. I do think that some of that has been thrust onto him given the construction of the roster that he did not build.
You don't think he has his voice?
But if I was going to try to find, he has sort of done that even during.
You don't think he has a say in roster moves?
I think he does a little bit, but he doesn't have this like decision making powers. And I just think that he's got somewhat of a say. Like, he was banging the table for Jimmy Butler, apparently. Like, he wants somebody to run an offense through. But I do think that, yeah, the rotation issues are there, and I would say that's and that even dates back to the Big Three era, you know, kind of swapping in different point guards here and there. He likes to experiment on the floor a lot, which is like, that's kind of weird, given how much that the team practices, that they would have to sort of, you know, write on stage as much as that they do. But I would say that that's probably what he does worst. And as far as what he does best, which is my favorite subject, I think he is really great at player development. And I don't think we talk about that enough, especially when you compare stuff to Brad Stevens. So I'm not saying he's not great at player development, but everybody just like falls in love with Brad Stevens because he draws a great out of timeout set. And it's just like, all right, cool. But I think the player development, the day-to-day stuff, I don't know that there's anybody better in the league than Spo at that, at just getting the most out of players. Just going back to turning Josh Richardson into what he is. Like, Josh Richardson, give credit to Spo and Chris Quinn, who's also been his player development guy on the staff. Those guys have as much to do with Josh Richardson's rise as Josh Richardson does, or something close to it. And you got to give credit to Spo of getting the most out of guys and just putting them in positions. It's very Bill Belichickian, where he's just like, give me anybody and I'll get this team to the playoffs. And that's what he did last year. So I think for Spo, it's just getting the most out of the guys. Whoever he has, he gets the most out of him. He's the guy that got the most out of LeBron. Hmm. And so from anybody from friggin' James Johnson to LeBron, he can get the most out of him.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, I'm not sure. I feel like, you know, we kind of see Spoelstra as an extension of Riley and this Heat culture and this stable front office and everything else. And I think he's a little, or that perspective is a little too comfortable, I think. I don't think that there's enough challenging. Like, this isn't the fire spoke crowd from a few years ago, but you want to see, I feel like we should be asking him to do a little bit more. Like, developing players is fine, but he has to also make the hard choice. And if that means starting X player over a higher priced option, then that's the choice that he has to make. He has to be able to connect with these players, I think, a little bit more effectively and tell them, look, you're no longer a valuable option. And maybe that's more detrimental to the team. But then that, again, that shifts the focus back onto Riley, who's not getting fired anytime soon, obviously. But and that's another thing, too, is that all these this stability that we rely on so much, you kind of take it for granted, and you don't grow as a team. And I think that's what you're looking for. If you're going to be starting Hassan Whiteside, and that's probably a mistake, then, you know, that's on Spoelstra, because he needs to be able to tell Hassan, look, you're not a starter in this league anymore. You got your money. I would love for you to be able to earn every penny of that, you know, $25 million, but this isn't realistic. So to me, I feel like Spoelstra is, again, not necessarily challenging his players in the right way and not making the hard decisions that would help this team become a better version of itself.
Well, the hard decision now is with the front office, because they have to wave and stretch Whiteside. And that's how we'll end today's show. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen. As always, you can reach us by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.